Breaking news today on Seculo as another DHS plan to police, quote, disinformation is exposed.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo.
I saw this huge end zone dance on the part of, you know, civil libertarian types that the Disinformation Governance Board, you know, very Orwellian title that people can get around and see how, you know, crazy this is, celebrating that it was shut down. And I very quickly, almost instantly, was hearing from sources within DHS that that's not the case.
We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110.
That Disinformation Governance Board was an attempt to sort of centralize and formalize at a leadership and headquarters level what was going on, but that was still going on at the component level of all of the different child agencies that are within DHS.
And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, so how intertwined is the U.S. government with these big tech companies trying to censor American speech, specifically domestic speech, U.S. speech? You know, it's one thing to look at foreign adversaries. What are the Chinese doing? What are the Russians doing? What are the North Koreans trying to do when hacking or even trying to spread false information? That is a different job of the federal government. But when you start talking about targeting Americans who have a First Amendment right, and of course, you know, again, using these, because they kept saying, well, these are private companies. This is not like the government. This is not like the sidewalk. Except for now, we know, because this was exposed, the Facebook content request system exposed by The Intercept. And what's in there? Well, a special web link that's live today. So this is not something that just was, you know, live a couple of years ago. Live today, facebook.com/xtakedowns/login. You have to have a government or law enforcement.gov.something to log into this. We don't know exactly who was able to log in, but we do know that when they log in, there's a formalized process for them to flag content on Facebook or Instagram and request that it be throttled or suppressed through a special Facebook portal. I just gave you the address for it. You can actually look at it and see it's live. It's currently active, and it requires this government or law enforcement email to use. This is what they were prioritizing, by the way. What, the first was the origins of the COVID-19 pandemic. I don't know why, when we still don't have a definitive answer, we're not allowed to discuss different theories about where it may be. You know, the general theory was, oh, it was started in these wet markets. Definitely not a lab. And then, Logan, you know, 6 months later, it was the lab.
Well, we've learned a lot.
That's allowed to be discussed now. So they've decided throughout this process when you're able to discuss like the origins. But it gets worse than that. Not just about the vaccines, that's in there. Racial justice, that's very broad. Like that gives it basically access to anything on everything. The U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan, you did an entire documentary series about this.
Maybe that's why I didn't get so many views.
As Americans, we should
blame
be able to.
I'll blame social media for suppressing it. Yeah, of course you should be able to. And look, I don't love that this exists. I think this gives a lot more fodder to people who thought that this kind of thing could exist. And you go, no, certainly not. Certainly not. There's not a portal on social media where the government goes in and says, good, bad, no, I don't like this. But there is, and there is this way for them to easily report it. Even the domain is ominous.
X takedowns.
Takedowns. And look, I know this from working in the entertainment industry. I do know that there are, so like you have a film studio would have a connection with YouTube. So if YouTube via, someone uploads, let's say someone's movie.
Sure.
They can go in to a portal and say, they used our content. It's down in seconds. It really is. I've seen it happen.
Which means that this could also happen very.
Exactly. I have a feeling it works very similarly in the fact that they could probably log on, type in really quick, this is bad, and all of a sudden, if it's not deleted, it's completely suppressed.
Yeah, the dethrottling.
Look, we know this. Look, we know that this topic today, when we decided to take this,
would
likely get throttled just due to what it is. So there's a lot less people watching on Facebook than usual. So right now I need you to share it because at least someone will see it. Make sure you share it if you're watching on Facebook. I know Rumble's put us front and center, so I appreciate our friends at Rumble for putting us up there. And that's why there are great platforms like Rumble that do not censor free speech and do not censor conversation. And we appreciate that always. So again, make sure if you're on, I'm going to give you all the three things. If you're on Facebook, like, share, comment. If you're on Rumble, thumbs up. Or there's a little plus sign on something. Give us a plus sign and comment. If you are on YouTube, hit that thumbs up, comment as well. It really appreciates that because when you do that, it gets into the algorithm for not Rumble. Rumble doesn't have that algorithm, but the others to make sure this content is shared. Coming up next,
Mike Pompeo is going to be joining us to talk about this very issue. We want to take your phone calls, 2-1-800-684-3110. Welcome back to Secula. This new report, again, folks, as we told you before, and we'll actually play sound later in the broadcast, when Nina Jankowicz was fired or terminated by DHS because of all the negative attention around the Disinformation Governance Board, we said, you know, be careful that you think that that's a full victory. Let's make sure that they're actually not doing this and just doing it under a different name, a different title. And now we have this new document from The Intercept. We are joined right now by former Secretary of State and NCA Director Mike Pompeo. And Secretary Pompeo, we got this brand new report from The Intercept. It shows it, and we've got the document itself, the login, that despite the canceling of the Disinformation Governance Board, the work of DHS, not to police misinformation from overseas or bad actors, whether it's the Chinese Communist Party or Russia, but domestic U.S. citizens, that it's growing. What is the Biden administration trying to do here behind the scenes to the American people?
Well, I think it's twofold. First, your point about behind the backs, behind the visibility for the American people is exactly right. They made, you know, then they've created the Disinformation Board. It got blown up. Civil libertarians, conservatives, people from a broad spectrum said this is a terrible idea. They backed off of it publicly, but apparently have kept doing this. And Jay said earlier, I think that's not a surprise. They have tried to take down, to censor, to move out of the marketplace of ideas, conservative thought for a long time. They've used, you all know this, they've tried to use the IRS, they've used the FBI. Now they're using DHS to police information to stifle debate so they can project their own progressive view of the world. This is deeply dangerous. The fact that they're now doing this behind the scenes when they claim they aren't doing it anymore is even more troubling.
Yeah, I mean, the access point is live through Facebook, and we actually have the portals live. The government has direct access to it. We don't even know the extent of how many government actors. We know you have to have some kind of government email address to log in, but it just seems very dangerous because there's so much pressure then on these companies who get immunity from lawsuits under federal, you know, the Communications Decency Act in Section 230 there, that if someone from the FBI goes in and says, okay, hey, don't let this talk on one of the issues with the withdrawal of Afghanistan, well, we need to dethrottle that content or criticism. I mean, this is the United States of America. You can oppose a war, you can support a war, you can support a withdrawal, you can oppose a withdrawal, you can criticize it. It's just some of these topics that they listed as concerns, it just seems such a dangerous attack on our freedom of speech.
Oh, it truly is. And our founders could probably not have imagined Facebook or Twitter, but they knew the danger of government throttling information, taking information down, protecting voices from being heard. They understood it. There is this long thread over 240 plus years now, and the Biden administration has uniquely tried to undermine the capacity for all of the voices to be heard. They want to push it aside. They want to use government power combined with the incredible capabilities of these businesses. To your point about the portal, that is real-time capacity to shut down information without any oversight, any place inside of the system. This is deeply dangerous. It's something that the Biden administration should not be permitted to do. I'm confident there'll be lawsuits filed as a result of this, but more importantly, I hope when we get a Congress here in January that has the capacity to conduct oversight, that they will look into what they were doing when they got rid of the Disinformation Governance Board. But disinformation governance was something they were continuing to do every day.
Yeah, and there was a shift. Obviously, when President Biden came into office, and this report outlines that shift, and the Inspector General's report outlines that shift, that, you know, initially this was directed, I'm sure, under the Trump administration that you served in. These, any kind of initiatives like this would have been directed at foreign adversaries trying to, again, meddle, if they're trying to meddle in our elections or cause any kind of issues in the United States. And it's, I think, still there. You know, you have to do it with a lot of, again, protection because of the laws we have in place. But then they had this complete shift to focus on the domestic audience almost completely. And they took people off of terror teams. And this is the IG report, off the teams that are focusing on Al-Qaeda and other Islamic terror groups, and put them on these domestic teams to shift there. To me, we're literally the week from Election Day. And the idea that all of these topics could be used to dethrottle a message of someone who's a political opponent of Joe Biden or the Democrat Party.
Yeah. Well, we've seen that they have done it. Your point about the appropriate role, so I was the CIA director, along with other external agencies. We tried to get it right to try and keep bad actors from putting misinformation to our system. By the way, frankly, less about politics, but more about disinformation to take down terror plots and the like to keep people safe. But to do this on a domestic political debate, to do this on the issues that are most important to the American people, and to stifle, throttle back, discard the views of U.S. citizens, whatever they may be, those that agree with you or me or disagree with you and me, is so inappropriate, so unlawful, so indecent that it does begin to undermine the republic. And so your point is very well taken. They've now turned their attention to this idea of domestic terrorism when, A, the threat from abroad remains, and, B, to do this to American citizens, to stifle debate inside of our country, is deeply un-American.
And we know it's active as enough because of the report, because it lists also U.S. involvement in Ukraine. I can't count the number of times Secretary Pompeo, we've discussed that on this broadcast, and we're putting it's on Facebook, it's on all these platforms, and we're just having honest, open discussions because American people, it's a shifting battlefield, changing battlefield. It's been a lot longer conflict than people thought it might be, and it impacts us at home, it impacts our European allies, and the idea that the discussions around that, if you're not right in line with wherever the Biden administration is that day, which, by the way, you know, as you know, Secretary, they're shifting on it too all the time. So if you're not on the party line message, suddenly you can't get your message out on these platforms, regardless of the money you're putting behind it.
Think about this. We've seen now they want to not talk about the withdrawal from Afghanistan, this terrible debacle that had 13 Americans killed, not permitted to speak about this. Ukraine, support for it, against it. Lots of different views, by the way, across the political spectrum. There's those who are for and against it on the left and on the right. These are exactly the kinds of topics that we should be encouraging a robust debate about. I saw, too, they were throttling back information about conversations on racial justice. Goodness gracious, there's Supreme Court cases in front of the United States Supreme Court today where they're talking about affirmative action and its appropriateness. These are exactly the kinds of debates that the American people should be having, and clearly, the Biden administration believes that it is losing the argument, it is losing the debate, and has chosen to use its power, governmental power, to throttle back the voices that oppose them. I can't tell you how troubling that is.
Political question for you. Final question today, Secretary Pompeo. I know you're traveling the country on behalf of conservative candidates. You've been all over the states. Now we're exactly the week from Election Day, and we're seeing polls favorite, you know, going in the Republican direction. Obviously, It seems to me like at this point with these final 7 days, as someone you've been an elected official as well, that this is now this is all about turnout and getting that message out. But if there were like a few states that you're watching that you think our audience should be watching as well.
Sure. New York, the governor's race. There are congressional races in Connecticut and Oregon, the Senate race in Washington, places that, goodness, Jordan, you and I even 6 months ago might have said probably not possible. Yep. The American people can see the failure of Democrat control of the House and the Senate and of the White House, and I think they're about to change them all. To your point, I encourage everybody to get out, exercise their First Amendment freedoms, exactly what we've been talking about. Go vote. They can't throttle your vote. Get out there, cast your ballot, make sure your friends do the same, and I am confident the American people are going to reclaim the important things that matter most to us, and we can begin to conduct oversight on precisely what we've been speaking about this morning.
That is so important, Secretary Pompeo. Thank you for joining us. That oversight role that Congress can have, we could go from a Congress that's obsessed with what happened in 2020 to a Congress that is focused on these very issues, Logan, like being told, oh, we got rid of the Disinformation Governance Board. But by the way, there's a portal for all of the law enforcement agencies to use to take down information, political information. And Secretary Pompeo, there's a proper role for the government to play here to help these companies. Yeah. He said it was not so much about politics, it's about terror attacks and violence, not domestic discussions on whether or not our role in Ukraine is correct.
Look, well, however you want to slice it, if you look at really the facts right now, let's say we're broadcasting live right now on all the social media platforms. On Facebook, we have over 4 million people who are on that page. A little, just right at 1,000 are watching. Rumble, a newer platform. Only about a little under 200,000 people are on the page. We have over 2,000 people watching from that. So you're telling me that equals out, that makes sense? No, what it means is there's one platform that is actually showcasing this kind of content, not putting a throttle on it, and one that's not serving it to even your own audience.
Not served to the people you've built up.
Right. So
using your resources.
Oh, absolutely. A ton of our resources. I mean,
that's the thing that people don't, you might not understand if you're just thinking about your private Facebook account, but if you run a large organization like ACLJ's, And they're like the Jay Sekulow page.
Advertising.
There's a lot behind building those millions of people over more than a decade.
Yeah, staff. There's so much that goes into it, and you really look at it and go, oh, man.
And those are people that said, I want to get your latest information.
Right. And they're still
asking for it. Again, this is a huge issue. I want to start taking your calls on this. 1-800-684-3110. Because doing this during an election time raises so many legal issues, as Secretary Pompeo said, that we have to start looking at. But you know what? We need a shift in Congress to kind of do all the efforts. Legal efforts outside, but also get some inside help. Bringing these executives forward, bringing forward these law enforcement officials, and making them have to testify under oath. By the way, first day of our matching challenge. Support the work of the ACLJ this month. If you make a donation at aclj.org, you double the impact of your donation. We'll go through it with you in a minute. aclj.org. All right, welcome back to Sekulow. I think, again, what Secretary Pompeo said, so important to reiterate. You know, this is the kind of speech and discussions you have before an election. You talk about, is the Ukraine policy right? The racial issues, like Secretary Pompeo said, that's not so controversial when you have an affirmative action case at the U.S. Supreme Court, where there's strong opinions on both sides. And you should be able to express those strong opinions in the United States of America on either side of that issue. So it's not always like when they use those terms like racial justice or racial issues, they're not always like the extremes of that. I think people think of like they go right away to like, you know, white supremacy or even like the violence that we saw around some of the protests and the Black Lives Matter protests.
Just be discussion.
It's not just, it's just a place to put an opinion if you so choose. But then there's organizations like ours that utilize these and that Facebook courted to use. It's part of their business model to utilize them. And the idea that, you know, this is not just about COVID. It's interesting. That's on there.
Yeah, the independent, remember there was a whole independent fact checker revolution that happened, and Facebook said, look, it does sound good on paper to be like, we're not controlling this. We've hired independent parties to audit it.
Well, even Elon Musk said they're going to do that at Twitter. He's going to have a board. That actually takes time with things.
That's hopefully actually diverse. You know, when they say a diverse board, usually that doesn't also mean, and then you have a group of people who are conservatives.
Yeah, he is hopefully getting rid of there's a bad actor in this.
Oh, yeah.
From Twitter. One of the main people at Twitter, what was their actual title? Head of Legal Policy, Trust, and Safety, who was fired immediately by Elon Musk after he completed his acquisition of Twitter. They actually drafted a report to the U.S. government asking for a more expansive role. So what's interesting is these companies, we're now exposing them, Logan, we're not saying, oh, this is a pain. I don't really like doing this, but we have this immunity, so we got to kind of comply. They were saying, do more. And by the way, not just online. They wanted to start going after talk radio. And we know who is strong on talk radio and who's weak. Yeah. Conservatives are strong, and liberals basically have hardly
nobody.
They just haven't been able to figure out a market that makes business sense.
Yeah, historically, conservative talk radio has been a thing. I mean, look, we still have it. You still have major corporations. It may be one of the few major corporations that still empower conservative voices is terrestrial or even satellite talk radio. If you have a company like iHeart, which was Clear Channel, still putting money behind it. You have Salem Broadcasting still putting money behind conservative talk and still getting advertisers because they know that audience is still there. And that entire broadcasting division is run by what? By advertising dollars. So it is very different to see that. But the fact that they were targeting, I'm not shocked. I'm not shocked they're targeting any of this or looking through the content of any of this. Again, I'm looking at our numbers right now and they're staggering because it's telling me that yes, Facebook does do this. We know this for a fact. We know that when we originally launched on Rumble.
This is it. I mean, you don't need any more info than a login that lets the government flag information. Like, I don't like their position on Ukraine.
And it's very easy when it's, hey, this show's up every day at noon Eastern. You know, they're able to easily go, oh, flag that, take that down. It may not be us specifically, but I feel like there are times we know we've been hit with some of the actual fake alerts where you say that partially things we've sent are fake and then we've had to go get them. Guess what they don't do? Issue a retraction. When they actually do issue the retraction, they don't then send to you, by the way, we cleared that up. About every time on Facebook, we have been right and they have flagged us for incorrectly. And we have lawyers on staff who go in to make sure. But you got an alert on your phone that said, oh, something you reported is partially false. Find out. No, of course, we actually did our due diligence. We have a huge legal staff. It's making sure we do our jobs here. But they're relying on this. Look, it's easy for Facebook to say, or any of these social media platforms to say, hey, we've we've given the government access. Hey, we have an independent board of fact checkers because it gets blamed to other people too.
Yeah. I want to go to the phones. If you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. We'll take your calls on this. We're going to take calls on politics as well. If you're in one of those battleground states, and let me tell you, this is great for conservatives that we're adding states to the list of watch. Like the fact that Lee Zeldin's race in New York, Oregon, you know, the gubernatorial race there, and House races in Connecticut being on the map. That is great news for conservatives leading into, we're just 1 week away from that day where we will, you know, all go in and watch the votes come in and watch the numbers come in. But again, why we've got to expose this information is because this can have a direct impact on that, on the candidate's ability to just get their message out. And so, again, let's go to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. Tim's calling in from California on line one. Hey, Tim.
Thank you for taking my call. What is motivating the Biden administration to turn the United States of America, greatest country in the world, into China?
You know, I think you've got two things at play. So you talk about the Biden administration. This seems like pure politics. Just how do we utilize these systems of the federal government? How do we take law enforcement agencies, the federal government, or intelligence agencies, and weaponize them for political purposes domestically? I mean, these are all issues. We talk about talk radio, social media platforms, cable news, hyper-partisan media.
People are asking,
I think, are we hyper-partisan media?
I don't know, hyper-partisan. I think hyper-partisan. Oh,
for their definition, probably.
Oh, yeah. Well, for their definition, we're probably, you know, the worst of the worst. When you look at this, though, people are commenting. A lot of questions are coming in about what can be done legally. Is there anything that can be done legally with this type of situation?
So what you have to, I think this is what you have to look at. There's First Amendment issues here. There's FOIA issues here, potentially, to know, okay, how did Mayorkas testify? We'll play. Let's play this real quick. How did the DHS secretary testify that, you know, none of this is going on? He goes to the media, goes on CNN and says none of this is going on. Take a listen, Byte 16.
I'm sure there are documents pertaining to this board, minutes of meetings, communications about who would serve on the board. Will you release those to this committee?
Senator, there are not yet this governance board.
Wait a minute. There are no minutes of meetings about this board?
It has not yet.
You've not created any records?
It has not yet begun its work.
Okay, we have the login now. It started, whether they want to call it that. Listen, that's Washington talk because he kept saying the board.
Yeah.
The board was dissolved. The work that they were doing at DHS was ongoing. So this is what we need. We first need we need to take back the Congress, okay, House and Senate. They start their investigations. We start the FOIA work, expose the information, utilizing what's already out there. I mean, this is kind of what you would usually get from a FOIA. So you've already got this. There are First Amendment, yes, real First Amendment concerns here. The question is, legally, these are private companies. There's this interplay that we have to always, we're always looking. It doesn't mean that they're immune from any lawsuit ever. And also, you can look at the federal government's role, which is where Congress plays such an important role, where organizations like us that do the FOIA work, that really are a check on the government, are so important, Logan. I mean, that's where we're able to dedicate resources to finding out this information, tracking it down, and making sure that once you expose it, like we did with the Disinformation Governance Board,
yep,
you stay on it, and that when you make sure that it gets fully dissolved, that this doesn't continue to happen in America.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why you need to support the work also of the ACLJ. What we're doing right now, we just launched our matching challenge for the month of November. So how you can support us right now is you go to aclj.org, you make a donation. Every donation made is effectively doubled. There's another donor on the other end willing to match that donation and make it. So if you give $10, effectively it is $20. You know that we do this a few times a year. And this is an important one as we head towards the end of the year. This is the time to really consider giving. And I know it's tough for a lot of people. And if you don't have the resources, obviously we totally understand. But if you do have that opportunity, please go to aclj.org. And don't only just donate there. We have incredible content. I know I say that all the time, but I mean it. We have incredible content there from great writers. We have content there from great video production, all the lawyers. You should go take a look, spend a little bit of time. And every day there's new updated articles and blogs. Again, that's at aclj.org. But we are in that matching challenge. We do have another half hour coming up on the broadcast. If you don't get us on your local terrestrial radio station, some don't carry the full hour. Find us online right now, aclj.org, Rumble, Facebook, YouTube. We're broadcasting live wherever people can find us. We are there. We'll be right back.
Keep
keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome back to Seculo, and thanks for joining us for our second half hour. If you want to be on the broadcast, we're going to get into, of course, more of this DHS information and the login. So if you want to check out, what is it, facebook.com/login, takedown, it's X.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it, it's there. You can go there. Again, if people are just joining us, it is a portal for the government to log in and to flag things as disinformation, misinformation, fake news, all those things we've talked about for years on a litany of categories.
Yes, as has been reported by the Inspector General, the scope of the effort has expanded beyond disinformation produced by foreign governments. And we talked directly to Secretary Pompeo as part of our team here at the ACLJ about that. And what he said very quickly was, and so a former CIA director too, is he said, listen, it wasn't about politics. If we were doing this, it was about terror, which is what you'd think the role of like Department of Homeland Security and working with FBI and other law enforcement is. Not Americans on a U.S.-based social media platform talking about whether or not they think that the U.S. role in Ukraine is right or that the withdrawal in Afghanistan was done in the best way possible or not. You should be able to express opinions on that. People did or did not support the Iraq war. I mean, there's been a lot of evolution around that. Now, one day you might have been more, you know, fervent in support, but then you find out more information like the WMDs and you say, you know, was this worth it? You can have those kind of discussions in the United States of America. And that's what makes us great, is being able to have put out our viewpoints and have a First Amendment. But they wanted, so it shifted from a foreign focus, which again, legally, the government has a lot more leeway on, because foreigners, if it's coming from overseas, you don't get the constitutional protections. And, you know, I think everybody can understand that. But then the MISDIS and malinformation team switched to a domestic focus. And as we said, they targeted social media platforms, but also cable news, hyperpartisan media, talk radio, and the topics. You know, this is what we went through as well, which I think, again, like we talked about the Ukraine, the U.S. withdrawal, whatever racial justice means, even the COVID origins, there's no definitive answer on yet. So it's just whatever is their talking point of the day. Yeah. They get to the Hunter Biden laptop is a perfect example. Now we know how they did that. So it's likely that those FBI officials went into this portal and communicated this to Facebook that way.
Yeah, because we know that Mark Zuckerberg said that on Rogan, that they have had this set up. I mean, he was very upfront about the fact that they have a way for the government to get involved
now
and ask
exactly
them to do it.
How.
And we said, ask them to do it. Part of it, like literally emailing Mark Zuckerberg and saying, hey, we don't want this up there. But no, what it is, it's a portal system. Like I said, in the entertainment industry, it's very similar with YouTube and some other content creators can log in. Let's say someone stole your intellectual property. They put up your movie or your television show and they don't have the rights to it. A mainstream distributor can log in and say, this is one of our films, and you have a trusted relationship with them. Immediately it comes down. I have a feeling it's a very similar situation where they already have a relationship set up with this, obviously, this Facebook portal. They go in and they log in and they say, take this down. And it probably does get taken down immediately. If it doesn't get taken down, it's throttled aggressively.
You know what, folks? I'm going to take more of your phone calls when we come back to this break. 1-800-684-3110. Austin, we'll get to you first out of Hawaii. We're going to talk politics as well. The campaign season, of course, this is that final stretch. If you've been in a battleground state, you've been inundated with ads. Well, if you're in Georgia, you might be inundated for another month if it does head to a runoff there in the Senate race. But turnout will determine whether or not we do see runoffs like in Georgia, or do we see the Republicans take back the U.S. Senate and the U.S. House, and by what kind of numbers, what kind of margins, which totally changes to like the Joe Manchin types, the Kristen Sinema types. We talked about so much of them when we're talking about legislation, which it's been a while since we talked about legislation because it's been the campaign season. But, you know, their role could be greatly diminished. We have to worry, what will Joe Manchin do if Republicans do take back the Senate?
Thankfully, because it would be nice to not ever say those names again. I mean, I don't mind whatever Joe Manchin's fine, but I don't like that it's always hindering on him.
Yeah, one or two people.
Yeah.
So 1-800-684-3110. If you're in one of those states with those races, we want to hear what you think is happening on the ground. Are you seeing the kind of grassroots mobilization that's necessary to win a turnout election, which I think most of these races are? Are you seeing the resources? Do you feel like the candidates have what they need? Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Secretary Mayorkas about monitoring Americans. He got asked very directly on CNN about this, because this was something that backfired very badly on the Biden administration, the Disinformation Governance Board and Nina Jankowicz. And it was not just conservatives. It was a lot of conservatives, but it was also news outlets, media outlets. This is why CNN was even pressing him on this, because it seemed like this is not American. This is not the proper role of the government under our, with the constitutional protections that we have as individual citizens in this country. So take a listen, because he was very clear cut when he talked to her on CNN.
Will American citizens be monitored?
No.
Guarantee
what,
that.
Well, so what we do, we in the Department of Homeland Security don't monitor American citizens.
You don't, but will this board change that?
No. The board does not have any operational authority or capability. What it will do is gather together best practices in addressing the threat of disinformation from foreign state adversaries, from the cartels, and disseminate those best practices to the operators that have been executing in addressing this threat for years.
Okay, so now we know how he makes that statement. Because what they do is they tell Facebook, this is the issue, then Facebook is the operator that he's talking about. They're the ones who de-throttle, technically, because DHS can't go in and control Facebook's algorithm or you know,
right,
and decide this. So he's able to make that statement.
They're able to put a report out.
Technically.
In technical.
But what we're seeing now is how real-time this is going on. This is not like they go to Facebook quarterly and say, look at this, or there's a national emergency situation. Like you talked about, cartels, fine. Illegal activity, again, they're doing this already. This is very directed, like the laptop, like the COVID origin. COVID origin should be able to be debated.
It also depends on what he means by monitoring U.S. citizens. If the answer is no, then that means U.S. citizens. That doesn't mean, well, you're a talk show host, so therefore you get the monitor, but they don't. But I do feel like that still is individuals. A lot of this stuff is created by individual accounts, not always
right.
created
and
by
I think what he's
corporate.
Saying there is DHS tells them what to do. They do it. So they're not technically the ones monitoring the individuals. It is Facebook using their back-end abilities to suppress information.
Yeah.
Like you said, you can post it, but no one will see it.
Yeah, exactly. If it doesn't get served, it doesn't matter. It's just getting it turned, as I said, turned down.
All right, we're going to go back to the phones. 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on air. That's 1-800-684-3110. As we said, we're going to get into politics, too. We're going to go through some polling and things like that, but we're going to stay on this issue for a minute longer. Austin in Hawaii on line 3. Hey, Austin.
How are you? Thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely. Thanks for calling.
Hi. So thank you so much for broadcasting this. Just to go off a little bit of what Secretary Pompeo was expanding upon, when we have congressional and Senate oversight, if, say, Republicans take back the House and the Senate, can we also, would it be good to expect some investigations into maybe like the Department of Defense in terms of the expansion of unnecessary politics and this wokeness that's infiltrated, not only just in the fact-checking companies, but into like, let's say, DOD contracts? Because I think it's gone way far over the line.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the fact that our military is focusing more on pronouns and less on, like, how do we... I think it was Senator Rubio who said this in a town hall with Sean Hannity and DeSantis. And I guess it was last week. And he said, you know, the military's role is not to get the pronouns right. The military's role is to figure out if we need to take out the Chinese aircraft carriers. Not saying we want to start a war to do that.
But that's what
that's what they need to be ready to do. And that... they're getting more and more highly technical to where our equipment and their equipment is starting to become more equal. And that's where we need to be focused. That's where that's the job of the military. Absolutely, this will all be investigated, and we will get more answers if Republicans take back control of the House. They can do some in the House. But if you get both the House and Senate, both chambers going, I think that's where, again, the elections are so important to hold this administration accountable for the actions they are taking that are hurting our country, whether it's the economics, whether it's spying on Americans, or pressuring these companies to take down information that could impact how people vote. That's important to point out just a week from Election Day. Every one of these issues is an issue that can impact someone's vote, whether it's the economy, Ukraine, the Biden laptop in 2020. And right now they're getting away with too much.
Yeah, and people don't understand that, or even maybe on their own side, they think they're doing the right thing by saying, well, yeah, of course it's going to impact how people are going to vote, and we don't want them to vote a certain way. So yeah, we don't want them to vote a certain way because we believe what they say is evil. That's the difference, is there is a point of view that's coming across on this, not just an angle. It's a, like you said, a manipulation to make sure you don't see certain news that you need to see. That's why there are free speech platforms that are popping up and are doing pretty well. Some may be monitored more than others, but they do exist. But you do have something like this. There probably was a real reason, as Mike Pompeo said, for something like this to exist on a social media platform. But it was for violence, for terror, for large-scale crime that was going on social media. We know it happens. We know it happens rapidly.
There's no protections for that.
No.
There's no First Amendment protections for terrorist groups, for violence, for criminal activity, illegal activity. There's not protection for. What there is protection for is discussion about whether or not going to the war is the right thing or not, or what the origins of COVID may or might not be, and being able to share different sources of that, which, by the way, there's still no definitive answer on. Yeah. So
there are a lot of definitive answers that shifted and moved.
Well, that's what I mean. It's constantly, like you said, in the Biden administration, you have to be on the line with the party, the Democrat Party, like that day. Because if you go back like a year ago and you put out their message from a year ago, it might be a very different message. I mean, this was the party of the protest movements, I thought.
Absolutely.
And now they're the party of shutdown protest. Shutdown.
That's why you see so many people leaving. So many people, traditional old school Democrats who were there because they were that, whether there was Tulsi Gabbard or even like you see someone like a Bill Maher, who was historically very, very left at his time. But as time has moved, he now comes off like a Republican. He hates you when you say that. He hates when someone says you sound like a Republican, but he does because everything has shifted so aggressively and he's kind of stayed the same.
Yeah.
And we can now tolerate more a moderate Republican or a moderate Democrat, a traditional moderate Democrat, than we could ever have before, because now the left has gone so far that it's unrecognizable. It's unrecognizable in America to what was.
Yeah, I mean, one of the topics, too, that I want to get into today, as we're just a week out, is what races you are watching closely. We'll tell you what races we're watching closely as well. But, you know, adding to the map is important. We're talking to people in all 50 states around the country and around the world who are tuned into the secular broadcast. But if you're on the ground in your state, I know that you've gotten a lot of ads, a lot of emails, a lot of text messages, a lot of get-out-the-vote drives. But are you feeling the confidence of victory leading into this final week? Which it appears that, again, many of these races, I'm going to say it again because I said it yesterday on the broadcast, but I think it's important to say. When people talk about red waves or red tsunamis, it does not mean that we're going to win every race by 20 points. It's the fact that Lee Zeldin might win by 1% in New York.
Which is wild. In New York. Now, New York has elected Republican governors in recent history.
Not a Lee Zeldin type.
Right.
He's different than Pataki. Pataki is the kind of old school Republican. I'm not saying economically conservative. I think Lee Zeldin.
New York Republican.
I think it's just awesome that New York State, which is such an important state in our country and to our economy, and it's not just New York City, but the whole, it's a huge state, could have shifted that dramatically because of, unfortunately, horrible things on leadership. The ground. Crime, drugs, and the economy.
Yeah.
Which is definitely leading these issues. And they don't want you talking about the fact that they spend all the time talking about Ukraine. We're spending most of our time talking about the fentanyl crisis, the crisis at our border, the getting back out of the COVID world into operating normal again. And so we'll take your calls on that. We come back for this break at 1-800-684-3110. We're going to go through some of that updated polling as well. And I always say, I don't put all my faith in polls, but what it does give you an idea is where you can fight. Like, if you've got the final resources this final week, where you should be placing them. And it will help you with, it helps you with trends. You might win some of these races by much bigger margins. You might lose some by smaller margins than you thought as well. But what the red wave tsunami is really about is that you've won in these places that you historically don't win. You've held all the seats you need to hold. And you've taken back two chambers, both chambers of Congress. That and a lot of state governments. I mean, this idea, again, that New York is in play, Oregon is in play when it comes to the gubernatorial race, is a huge shift. And it's a great thing that the Republican Party has got to seize on, like, so we can repeat this. Which I think is, how do you keep the people who maybe this is their first time voting Republican, how do we keep them in our big tent?
Yeah.
Because we're the big tent party now.
Yep, and you have a couple of years until it's even more important.
It's why it's important to expose this DHS info now, because we know how the impact of social media can have on election. Like, if that Hunter Biden laptop and all that information went out, who knows if how many people might have said, you know what, I don't trust Joe Biden, and made a different opinion, decision. We don't know. We can't rewrite history, but what we can moving forward is make sure good policies in place and the bad policies are out the door. And that is what we're going to be focused on at the ACLJ. Remember, we've got our matching challenge just beginning today, this month. You double the impact of your donation. So you make a $25 donation online at ACLJ.org. That's like $50 for us. ACLJ.org. If you can, donate today. All right, welcome back to Sec Hill. We're taking phone calls to 1-800-684-3110. Take your comments online. What races you're watching closely. I want to play this from Secretary Mayorkas. It's on Fox News. This is from May. So he's again asked about the disinformation. How do you utilize that information? What are you doing with that information? Take a listen. Bite 10.
We address disinformation that presents a security threat to the homeland. Disinformation from Russia, from China, from Iran, from the cartels.
So again, all of that would be fine for the most part, I think. I mean, like, I don't want to give them too much leeway.
Right.
But the idea, and that's kind of what Secretary Pompeo was talking about, is those kind of issues. But then, as this report indicates, they shifted their focus to domestic audience. And that's when you have First Amendment concerns. That's when you have legal concerns. And that's when, again, you are meddling in politics. That is not the role of law enforcement.
Yeah, and look, you are that domestic audience. And I have a question for you. I want to know, like Jordan said, what your thoughts are on this topic. Also, what races you're following in the next week, how it's going to impact you. Here's the deal. We got about 7 minutes left in this broadcast. We actually have quite a few open lines. So if you want your voice on the air, this is the time. This is the moment to call. Make your comments quick and sweet to our phone screener. We'll get you up as soon as we can. Here's the number, 1-800-684-3110. If you're watching on social media, close us out, pick up the phone, call, give us a call. I mean, obviously, I don't want to lose your number on there, but you can hear the show when you call in, 1-800-684-3110, 684-3110. Yeah. Call in right now.
We did have questions coming in online, too, about the administrative stay put in place by Chief Justice Roberts.
You may have seen a breaking news kind of alert go through.
Again, it's a stay. We talked about this on our air. We talked about it on our podcast, the Secular Brothers podcast, is that I don't put too much weight into stays. It is a victory short term. It's not going to hold that way. So what it gives is the justices time now to consider, because the presidential records, and President Trump is alleging that there's not a legislative purpose. That's the test here. Does Congress have a legislative purpose to get his tax returns, or is this all politically motivated? If it's a politically motivated hit job, that's not a legitimate legislative purpose. So there is a potential. I think it's always uphill at the Supreme Court, even when you're a former president. But there is a potential. Now, what that does is give the Supreme Court time before the records get released to then take it to the nine justices to say, is this something we want to even think about hearing? Like, do we want to even hear this case? So it's a short victory. It's always more positive to get one than not, because if you don't get one, that would, your fight is over. So it continues his fight to keep those records from Congress, because of his belief and his legal team's belief that it is totally politically motivated, which I think if you have lived in his shoes some, as we have, you can understand why he feels that way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Look, we're talking about the stories that we're talking about today.
Yeah.
Think
we're
going to
talk about more later on. If you're watching this, you may want some more content. Jordan and I do Monday, Tuesdays, and Thursdays on the Secular Brothers podcast. That's a podcast we both do together. It's a little more casual, a little more fun. We still break down news, politics. Yesterday, one of our biggest shows ever, we talked about the Luke Bryan controversy with Governor Ron DeSantis, but also really dove into some of these elections, how thing works, what states are actually battleground states anymore, all while having a bit more fun. I really enjoyed that show. I think you should go back and listen to it. And then today, this afternoon, we'll post a follow-up show. And again, we do that 3 days a week. You can find that on the Secular Brothers podcast, on your favorite podcast players, on Rumble, on YouTube. You can find all the direct links at secularbrothers.com. Com. That's my advertisement for our great podcast that, again, is available now. We've been doing it for about a month and a half. It's been a lot of fun, but really interesting to see all the feedback. Again, a much different tone, but we're available there every day or 3 days a week. All right, let's go to Jeanette in Kansas Online 1. Hey, Jeanette.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have a question. Our governor's race has been kind of a heated thing because we had Governor Kelly, and I'm just one. She's not been real good for our state. It's been weird seeing our state go from red to blue.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if that's a big concern.
Yeah, I think, listen, when you're talking about an incumbent governor, it's always tougher. She's also tied herself a lot to, like, President Trump. Showing like imagery of that. So it's a little bit, you know, confusing imagery. So you've got Derek Schmidt there running against the Democrat Governor Laura Kelly. I haven't seen it a ton in the news, which to me indicates a couple things. And the polling
I don't
know
much about that at all.
Yeah, the polling's a few points. I mean, so again, it could be close. But I think, like you're saying, you know, she's running a pretty misleading campaign. Doesn't talk about abortion. Puts images up with Donald Trump. And so... have we seen any other polling? Yeah, I'm not seeing anything. Sometimes that means, again, that the parties just haven't shit. It doesn't mean it's not important for your state that you don't support. I would think in this election cycle, a Democrat's on the ballot, get out the vote. At this point, don't worry about the polls. Get out your friends to vote because people and make sure, you know, you expose their record.
Yeah. How many in this? We could take a quick call from Eric too.
But I looked for information about it. It was tough to find.
Do people actually vote beyond party line? I mean, do we see that majority? Because I feel like people go in. Most people go in and
only
go,
in a handful of states.
Yeah.
New York is one of them that has a history. Pennsylvania has a history. So I'd say some of the Northeast.
Okay.
Some of the probably the Pacific Northwest.
People who generally are actually splitting their social and their economic.
Yeah,
decision making.
Yeah, I mean that's why Lee Zeldin has a real chance. It's tied polls now. Yep. New polls are showing that tied. That's why in Michigan, I think it's not so much that it's just that's more of a purple state. Certainly, like in Oregon, it's not like there's going to be a conservative wave in every single House race there. Right. But people are able to say, you know what, I don't like what this governor's been doing. I'm going to support the Republican.
All right, let's go to Eric in New Jersey, who's calling online too. We'll try to take some more. We'll do our best. Eric, you're on the air.
Yes. Hi, Mr. Sekulow. I have a question in reference to the collaboration between the government and big tech. Once they take part in that type of collaboration, does the big tech lose their ability as far as a independent company or a private company, as you had mentioned that they're private?
Yeah, I think that's what we're figuring out in our legal system right now, Eric, is where is the line for these private companies? They are private. They're on the stock exchanges. They're, you know, publicly traded companies. But where is the line if they cross over to working so closely with the U.S. government that their actions actually could violate constitutional guarantees that are usually limited to the government? It's the U.S. government that can violate constitutional rights. It's and individuals, or local governments, state governments, they are the ones the Constitution governs, and that's again, there is a line, and we're just kind of, you know, the legal system is very slow on tech, it is just getting up to speed. So I think, you know, our first route is we do the exposure, so we know what's going on. Try to put that public pressure on these companies not to do that. Say this is bad for your business to be doing this with the federal government. And then second, you look at these exemptions they have, like the Section 230 exemption of the Communications Decency Act, and you say, you know what, you could wield that as a sword or a shield. Expose them, make them come testify. They do have to do that. And honestly, I think there's this fine line. It is hard to say that it's like they're not at all government actors because they work so well, as we know.
Yeah, they work so closely.
They got logins just for the government. We had our team member try to log in just to see what happened.
Yeah.
And she got like the...
Yeah, it says email just provided is not onboarded partner email address. Please try again with a valid email address.
Very corporate term, onboarded.
Onboarded. But yeah, so it says is that there's a database also of email addresses that are allowed and not allowed. So that's expected, I guess. But
our FOIA, I would love to get that list. Like just... How broad
who has
is
the access?
Yeah, and how many different people and different entities in the federal government can utilize the system whenever they feel like they should?
Pretty fascinating.
All right.
We're going to do it the ACLJ. That's why I get support our work.
Yep, Secular Brothers Podcast later on this afternoon. Join us, secularbrothers.com.